You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, everyone. I'm Anthony Cashman. Thanks for tuning in once again to our Twins talk here, and joined by Rhett Bollinger. As always, Rhett is about to take off for Florida, and he'll be in Fort Myers for the length of camp. As the Twins get ready for 2016 after a nice surge up the standings in 2015. Rhett, let's hit on some key talking points here for the Twins spring. And in my eyes, the biggest one is maybe the rotation battle in the back end of the rotation. I'm assuming Irvin Santana, Phil Hughes, and Kyle Gibson are locks, I would say. What's the future hold for those last two spots in the rotation?
Well, it's going to be interesting. As you said, I think Gibson, Hughes, Santana are locks. Those last two spots are going to be up for grabs there. It's going to be kind of an interesting battle. I mean, Ricky Nolasco is definitely the biggest wild card. The last 2 years has really struggled. But we know that he's owed, 2 years and $25 million. They're going to give him every chance possible to make that rotation, because they probably don't want to pay a guy $12.5 million to just be in the bullpen as a long reliever. Tommy Malone, another veteran, actually coming off a pretty good year last year. I think he had a 3.92 ERA. Was definitely a very important piece for them as a guy that kind of filled in when others got hurt. So you got to figure he's got a strong chance. He didn't really do anything to lose a spot last year. He's just not really a guy that, he's not an overpowering pitcher. He's kind of a soft-tossing lefty. So I don't really see him as a guy that goes to the bullpen either. So to me, they're still kind of the favorites, but, fans don't want to hear that because they've got some young pitching options now. Tyler Duffy had a great 10 starts last year down the stretch. And really, based on that alone, probably is deserving to be in the rotation. But sometimes, like I said, the business side of it kind of gets in the way with the contracts in Alaska and even Malone, a guy that just signed a contract as an arbitration eligible guy. Trevor May is going to be in that mix, but I still kind of think that May is probably more likely to take it into the bullpen. And Jose Berrios, top prospect, certainly they're going to get a look at him. I think he's probably one of their best five starters already in terms of just pure talent and skill. I think it's the same kind of thing, with a little bit of that business side of it, but they've got some other options. The fact that Berrios hasn't been called up yet, they could delay some of that, free agency and that kind of stuff if they keep him down a little bit. So I think it's going to be a big battle, but at the same time, and anything could happen, but I think going into it, I think the veterans have a little bit of a leg up, but it's kind of going to come down to performance and all that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I mean, Berrios, you understand, every team plays that game as far as the initial call-up and the service clock. But, Duffy was so good for them down the stretch last season. You hope he gets an earnest shot. And things happen, too. We know that. Sometimes injuries pop up or, sometimes a guy gets banged with a suspension just before you break camp and you didn't see that coming. But hopefully it doesn't come to that, of course, once again. But with Duffy, I mean, how real was what we saw down the stretch last season in your mind, Rhett? I mean, based on his minor league performance and just his overall profile.
It's a great question. I mean, he's a guy that we didn't really hear too much about as a minor leaguer. He was never, a huge prospect. You always heard so much about Jose Berrios at AAA. Obviously, Alex Meyer's a name he hadn't really been mentioned, and he was a big prospect. And obviously, Meyer saw some potential, too. He just really struggled last year overall in general. But, it was a little bit of a surprise for him to come up and have that kind of success. But to me, it still looked real just because the stuff was there. He throws pretty hard. He's got that great breaking ball. I mean, that curveball really is impressive pitch. He gets a lot of swings and misses, a lot of strikeouts on it. So if you look at the peripheral stats, you look at the strikeouts to walk ratio, even the home runs allowed, it was a legit performance in that sense. You never know if you can repeat that and you can continue to kind of get these guys to continue to chase on that curveball. That's really kind of the bread and butter. That curveball really was the difference maker for him last year. But if guys can lay off of it, that's the one thing we'll kind of see in his second year. But it was pretty legitimate to me. It wasn't like it was smoke and mirrors. I've seen other Twins pitchers come up in recent years, kind of come up and the guys that don't strike anybody out, next thing you know, they have a nice little run, but the league catches up to him. Maybe a guy like Scott Dinan comes to mind, whereas Duffy has the legit stuff. And even his minor league numbers were pretty solid, though. He just never jumped out at you the way that some of the really big prospects did. But I think he's a legit starter, and I think that he's got a real shot to make it. It's just going to kind of come down to, like I said, sometimes it comes down to the business side of it. And as you said, sometimes someone can get hurt. You never know. So I certainly think there's a good chance he makes the rotation, but you never know, and there's certainly a chance he also could be a Triple A.
And the bullpen will be affected by the rotation battle, but is the bullpen the only other source of, you know, earnest position battle in your mind?
Well, pretty much, but you never know position player-wise in the sense that Byron Buxton's got to, you know, prove himself. The Twins would love for him to have a great spring and for him to grab the center field job and never look back. But he's got to prove that. There's certainly a chance that he could struggle in spring and they could say, hey, you know what, we want Byron to go back down to AAA and kind of work on a few things, you know, offensively. Center field, in that sense, they could either say, okay, we're just going to throw Eddie Rosario out there in the short term until Byron's ready, or they could even have Danny Santana out there in center field. I still think that it's definitely Buxton's job to lose, and that's who they want to win it, kind of like Aaron Hicks a couple years ago. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, I think Miguel Sano certainly is going to make the team, but right field's going to be interesting to watch, but I think at this point they've pretty much gone all in on the right field experiment. Byung-Ho Park even has something to prove as a guy that's coming from Korea. The Twins, same thing, would love for him to be the DH from day one. But he technically can be sent to the minors, and if he had a really disastrous spring, that could happen. But really, I mean, as long as the guys kind of produce as expected in terms of position players, it wouldn't, you know, it should be kind of locked down. But, yeah, the bullpen's going to be the more of the, you know, the kind of the back end set with guys like Perkins and Jepsen and Fien and probably May. But those last few spots will definitely be up for grabs.
Another item that came up this week is Joe Mauer's vision. He says, he told the, I believe it was the St. Paul Pioneer Press, that his vision was affected by his 2013 concussion and that he's going to basically experiment with wearing sunglasses during day games. And as you noted, Rhett, there was a pretty distinct difference in his performance, his flash line in day games versus night game. Certainly a topic to watch, I guess, as spring develops here.
Yeah, it's very interesting to me. I mean, we've known that ever since that concussion in 2013, he really hasn't been the same player. And obviously, even the year that he had it, he was having a great year. He was an all-star that year. He was still a catcher. He takes a foul tip to the mask, has a concussion, and misses the rest of the year. And ever since then, you know, the move to first base, thought, okay, he'll be healthy, hopefully get back to that kind of level of production that he was at before the concussion. In the last year, it just hasn't happened. You know, he's really struggled offensively, hasn't been the same player. But he really hadn't used that excuse. You know, he always kind of said, oh, no, the concussion symptoms are pretty much gone, that kind of stuff. Never made excuses for it. And then sure enough, kind of out of nowhere, comes out this report that he actually said that he couldn't see during the day and that he's going to wear sunglasses, you know, at the plate, that kind of thing. So I think it surprised a lot of people. I think it surprised people within the organization. Terry Ryan said that he didn't even know that Mauer was suffering from that. So I think it's an interesting thing to see how it's going to go. I don't know how much it really did affect him at the plate. No one really does, probably, except for Mauer. Just because, you know, if he hadn't really told the training staff or the front office or anything, it's hard to know how serious it was or how much he wanted to hide it from them. So it's going to be a big story, I think, at camp to kind of get more from Mauer and kind of figure out what the organization knew, how much that affected him, and then just to kind of play it out and see and watch, you know, how it does affect him. And is it going to help him? Because if obviously him wearing sunglasses really does help him during day games and he can improve his overall numbers, that'd be huge for the Twins. So it's definitely going to be a big storyline because it seems like every offseason everyone writes a story. Joe Mauer did this workout, this new, and this and that. And this year is going to be different and this and that. But finally, there's actually some sort of real change that he's talked about that's actually real. And so we'll kind of see how that kind of all plays out.
And legitimately see it because, I mean, so many day games in the Grapefruit League, obviously, it's not like want to read too much into his production down there, but it'll be kind of hard not to evaluate the numbers he puts up in those games just because he will be trying something different for the day games. Right, what's spring training like for you, man? Like I said, a lot more day games. It's a totally different schedule for a beat writer. What are your thoughts as you go into – how many camps is this for you now?
Well, this would be my sixth camp now with the Twins. And then it would be my eighth overall. I did two in Arizona kind of as a backup where I used to go. They just had me kind of park out in Tempe and they just had me go all over the place. It's so easy to get around spring training. So, but for me, yeah, spring training's fun. I mean, the big thing is you're right. Schedule-wise, totally different. You know, getting the clubhouse at 7 in the morning is a lot different than getting the clubhouse at 3:30 p.m. I'm not exactly a person that gets up too early generally. It's kind of an interesting thing in that sense. But it's fun, you know, kind of to see all the different position battles and the access is great and the players are all in a, you know, great mood because the new season and the excitement of it all. And then, you know, the facilities at, you know, for the Twins are awesome. I mean, you know, the renovated Hammond Stadium is great. Just a great venue overall. I mean, spring training in Florida is a little tougher in terms of Fort Myers being a little bit away from everything else in a sense. It's a little bit of a drive to get to the end of the stadium, which is kind of tough. But yeah, it's definitely a fun time of year and kind of gets that excitement ready for the regular season.
You must feel like you know the Red Sox roster pretty well by the end of spring camp.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, they're the only other team in town, so they're playing the Red Sox constantly. Same with the Rays. The Rays and Red Sox take up probably more than half of the Twins' schedule. So yeah, you definitely get to know the Rays and Red Sox beat writers and all the opposing players, including their minor leaguers no one's ever heard of.
Well, I think we can tell the people we had to wake you up for this podcast, Rhett.
Exactly. See,
up early, setting the alarm clock, and the dedication there. And Rhett's headed off to Fort Myers this week, so be sure to catch his reports from there. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.